Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, thank you. And why does the paper have to go over, ladies, and not under?
Over.
Guys don't care, right?
I care. Over.
Oh, God.
Over is the correct answer.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Thursday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. Talk a lot of Chiefs football today. We'll hang out with KC Sports Network's Craig Stout coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll hear from the Chiefs around 11:45 or so. And we will play some sports or leisure later on in the show today. So a lot of stuff to get into. Jam-packed show. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. 913-912-4810, text line to join us. Get into some of your texts throughout the show today. A couple of texts already coming in. But anyway, in fact, one text coming in that says... you guys have to talk about this today, which is the New Heights podcast. Patrick Mahomes telling the story of how he aced his whiteboard test with the Chiefs and Andy Reid, which we will absolutely get into.
Good news, everybody.
I've got news for you. I've got good news and bad news. Good news is we are going to play that. Bad news is, I don't know, when? Hopefully soon. Probably. It depends on if Josh just derails the show.
Well, listen. I wasn't planning on it, but now that you mention it.
Let's go ahead and derail this thing. Beards, you go ahead and get the Nobody Cares ready and just go ahead and just start playing that over and over again, because I did want to just start with this real quick, just as one of those good wins, covers type deals.
Sure.
I know that Nobody Cares. Absolutely.
As long as I don't derail the show, this is going to be good. We're going to get right to this New Heights audio.
Not even in the slightest does anybody care. My same game parlay with Mexico and Saudi Arabia yesterday that we talked about. I had part of the same game parlay was both teams to score. And in the seventh minute of stoppage time,
wow.
90+7 Saudi Arabia scores. It wasn't deserving of winning it, but I won it. And I'm like, Mexico was already out anyway. At that point, they needed one more goal to be able to get in and finish second in the group stage. But Saudi Arabia gets that goal with 2 minutes to go in stoppage time. I'm like, nailed it. Never doubted it for a second. You know what that is? It's a win. Doesn't matter if there's a minute and a half to go in the game or not. It's a win. That's what that is.
So far, nothing but wins in the World Cup for your boy. We've got had the U.S. over Iran.
Good for you.
Locked in, the little Mexico parlay. And currently, $10 on the U.S. plus $20,000 to win the whole thing. So, I mean, if that one lands...
Good for you. You know what? Believe.
If that one lands, I'm buying us all lunch.
I hope so. Thank you. Thank you for really going out of pocket for that. What, are you going to get some gift cards back there just in case?
No, I mean, look, if this one cashes out...
There you go.
I'll buy something real nice straight out of my own pocket for us.
Do you think Tyler Adams, after the game was over, went to the Iran reporter and said, "Oh, hey, just so you know, it's not pronounced eliminated, it's pronounced eliminated. Have a good day."
I don't think he did do that, since you asked. I bet he didn't. That's my official answer.
He probably didn't. He's probably got too much class to do that.
I probably would not bleep with Iran at this point.
What about that reporter specifically?
I would not bleep with that reporter either.
I wouldn't bleep with state media.
That's right. Generally speaking, I would not tend to bleep with state media.
That's right. All right, 913-912-4810. Let's get into the show. If you want to be a part of it, 913-912-4810. Craig Stout coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Chiefs at 11:45 or so, and then sports or leisure. So let's start with the Justin Reed comments from yesterday. And we start there because I think it's a common misunderstanding or just ignorance, which there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. It's just lack of knowledge. I'm ignorant to a lot of things, mainly, you know, soccer strategy. That's not the main thing. One thing is soccer strategy. There's a lot of things I'm ignorant to. But, you know, I think it might just be ignorance of what goes on in an NFL scout, the prep, the game plan, and how very rare names are used as opposed to numbers. That it is just a numbers discussion for the most part. Unless, of course, Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or things like that, or Brady, you know, maybe even when it comes to those, they're saying number 12. Well, when 12 is going to take a three-step drop, and look, 15, when 15 gets out of the pocket, you've got to be prepared for this, 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 and this. The way you rush 15 is this way. It may be the exact same, but let's hear Justin Reed's comments. That's the first thing I wanted to say, just because of, you know, I think that's a good preface for what comes from these comments about the Bengals and what happened last year versus what he feels like he can accomplish and be a part of this year. Take a listen.
The big time tackle, like some of the missed tackles, explosive plays, a lot of it's going to come down to making the play on the ball, you know. And they have 88, Higbee. No, it's not. Is it not Higbee? Was with the Rams. What's his name? It's Higbee and Higgins. They're going to have him back. He's a very talented receiver too. More of a finesse type of guy. Not the best blocker. I'm going to lock him down, you know, straight up. You know, we're going to have to come out of the game, like I said, play our best game and go out and do it.
By the way, credit PJ Green, Fox 4, for the video there that has made its way all over the internet and made its way to Jamar Chase. And Jamar Chase and Justin Reed, a little back and forth on Twitter. So there's that. And let me just say, if this was, if we were doing a show in Cincinnati, I think we might be discussing this the way that we were with Shaq Barrett, the way that we were with Justin Simmons. I don't know who Jeremy Simmons is.
I'll figure out if that's a person or not. Justin Simmons plays for the Broncos.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Jeffrey. The defensive tackle for the Titans.
Jeffrey Simmons is the defensive tackle. Justin Simmons plays for the Broncos.
Broncos safety.
Jeffrey Simmons plays for the Titans.
Okay.
We got there. Both real players the Chiefs either have or will play this year.
That's right. But the comments from Shaq Barrett and the comments from Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons went out and backed him up. Shaq Barrett did not. I think we would be viewing it that way if the roles were flipped. But, and you know what? Maybe I would also offer that he's talking about Hayden Hurst. He then went and clarified on Twitter that he was talking about Hayden Hurst. He said number 88. And I see the reaction from a lot of people like, hold on, he's going to lock somebody down and he doesn't even know who he's locking down. He doesn't even know the name or who's there, who's not. I think he was talking about whoever 88 is as the tight end.
That's called confidence.
That's right. I don't even care who it is. I'm locking them down. Number 88. And he said Higbee, but it was Hurst. It started with an A. I knew it started with an H, though. Samsonite. Way off. So he says 88. He knows who he's talking about. And then it's Higbee, no. And then I think it was PJ Green that said, not Higgins. You're not talking about Higgins, because he knew he was talking about a tight end. Number 88. Not Higgins, number 85. And he goes, no, it's Higgins. And I think Justin Reed still was talking about 88. Still was talking about Hayden Hurst. And then he said number 2 is more of a finesse guy, not a great blocker. I think he then goes back to say, I'm going to lock him down, number 88. Do you think he's talking about 2 and 85 and 88 on the Bengals offense? Or is he talking specific tight end, that's his matchup, because I don't see him guarding Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins very often. I see him probably guarding Hurst and Samaje Perine out of the backfield whenever it's called upon.
No, I think that this is a relatively sort of straightforward guy using the numbers and the names getting mixed up. Again, when you think about how Justin Reed gets used in this defense and who he's likely to be covering, way more likely to be covering, as you said, a tight end or a running back than he has to be split out wide with T. Higgins or anybody. So you hear the clip. The rest of the Twitter thread, yes, where Justin Reed first clarifies himself and then adds to it, and then what happened after that? But Reed himself says, when you said TBH, I meant Hayden Hurst for the man matchups, quote, nonetheless, any and everybody still getting locked up.
That is true.
He doesn't care who you think he's talking about based on this tweet. I do think that he meant Hayden Hurst throughout that process, but then it kept going. I'll let you keep setting it up if you'd like.
Well, and so I think the reaction is, or what I've seen, is that, okay, he doesn't even know who he's... Nice film work.
The reaction that I had to it, nor is it the reaction that I've seen. So I think there are levels to this one.
Okay, very good. So I've seen that reaction, and I've also seen him... that people are saying he was calling Hayden Hurst soft, that Hayden Hurst is a finesse player that's not a good blocker, while Ja'Marr Chase is the guy he specifically, and T. Higgins, that he's going to lock up, those guys specifically. Whereas I think he's saying Ja'Marr Chase is a soft blocker, that he's a finesse guy, not a good blocker, which is probably true. Higgins, good receiver. Hayden Hurst is the guy that he's going to then lock up. But you're right. He then goes and says, it doesn't matter. We're locking. Everybody's getting locked down. All right, everybody's getting locked down. It's going to be different than a year ago. What happens in these situations is when you mention names or numbers specifically, I think it definitely changes the conversation, especially with players. Because Ja'Marr Chase, a couple of days ago, was talking about, you know, his health and everything and said it doesn't matter the health and all that. I'll beat anybody in the league. There's nobody that can guard me in the league. Well, if he said, number five for the Rams can't guard me in the league. Oh, he just called out Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. But he did call out Jalen Ramsey by saying nobody in the league can guard me. That includes you, Jalen Ramsey. And it includes Justin Reed and Trent McDuffie and whoever else that's out there for the Chiefs or the Titans or anybody. You name a cornerback, nobody can guard me. Which, by the way, every top receiver probably feels that way. And every cornerback feels like they're going to go and lock somebody down. It's a matter of saying it. It's a matter of mentioning names. And it's a good point at the end where it doesn't matter. Everybody's getting locked down. I don't think Justin Reed is saying, I'm going to lock everybody down. I'm going to be all over the field like there's going to be five of me out there. But this is a interpret it the way you want. If you're on the Bengals side, you interpret it as saying, he said Hayden Hurst is soft and he's going to lock down Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
I think that's just not paying very close attention.
No, but it doesn't matter if it's paying close attention or not. It's viewing it as, well, he said that. Therefore, that's the way it's going to be viewed in Cincinnati, too. I mean, in the locker room, because Ja'Marr Chase viewed it that way, as in the, oh yeah, you know, you do the Twitter back and forth with Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Reed if you can.
So Reed tweets TBH meant Hayden Hurst for the man matchups. Nonetheless, any and everybody's still getting locked
That's
up.
That's right.
First, I noticed this one just today. Tyler Boyd responds with a crying laughing emoji and a skunk emoji.
Okay.
And then Ja'Marr Chase says, let's put some money on it, big time, eye emojis. Justin Reed says, and this goes back to a conversation we've had some version of many times this year. Justin Reed tweets, y'all welcome for the extra motivation. Mm-hmm. I'm a see you Sunday champ. Ja'Marr Chase responds, tuna in a can, cat emoji. Justin Reed responds, noted, with the, kind of leaning back, nodding emoji and the little hand taking a note emoji in the gif, I mean, the nodding gif. This is the Twitter back and forth between one of the best receivers in football and Justin Reed, who hasn't even played the Bengals as a Chief yet, by the way.
Right.
He was not here for the thing that has apparently given the Chiefs all the motivation leading up to this game. Reed said in that same interview where he said he was going to lock him down, we mentioned yesterday, he said that it was one of the games they had most circled on the... Actually, I think it was he said it was the most circled game on the calendar.
Of the three.
Of the Titans and Bengals and Bills games.
Right.
He said, especially Cincinnati. when he wasn't even here for that, which I just think is interesting because he's getting that via osmosis. I think it's more interesting to look at even these guys are playing both sides of the bulletin board material thing. Because we talked yesterday about how Chris Jones doesn't want to give Joe Burrow any credit. Well, usually the Chiefs give you all the credit, so you can't take bulletin board material. And now Justin Reed is like, I've never seen this side of Justin Reed in his time in Kansas City so far.
Yeah, me either.
This is a new flavor from him. I'm getting a little worried about just maybe Kansas City Chiefs safeties, just like what that does to your Twitter habits. I'm a little bit, he's nowhere near there yet. It's okay. I'm just noticing out in advance.
I would maybe suggest maybe you don't tweet something, subtweeting or not.
If Justin Reed bounces off of Joe Burrow and then after the game tweets about having a broken thumb, I will not, I'll just keep it to myself.
God, let's hope Justin Reed doesn't bounce off Joe Burrow.
That, I mean, he's no Taylor Heineke, so I guess.
That's true.
There's deep cut. But I've just never seen this from Justin Reed. You rarely see this from the Chiefs. And Reed even says, you're welcome for the extra motivation. Like, oh, bulletin board material? We don't need that. When twice this year we've talked about the bulletin board material the Chiefs have gotten and taken. So my lesson on that front is that no one has a consistent opinion on what is and isn't motivating. It's totally about what you want to believe in that situation. I think that's funny. Tuna in a can. And that Twitter thread, little spice to this game. We have not seen anything quite like this leading up to this season.
Well, and I think it also goes to show that, you know, players do look at bulletin board material because we talked about it from what the Chiefs were doing with Shaq Barrett and Jeffrey Simmons. That what they said. They took note of it. They talked about it after the game was over. They talked about it before the game even was played. So the players also have some of those. Look, you're an NFL player. You got some pride. You got some confidence. You got some belief in yourself. You don't make it to the NFL by being meek and just like, oh, I don't know, maybe I'll get it done. Maybe.
But
I won't.
Reed also kind of makes fun of him for like needing extra motivation. Everyone's playing both sides of it.
For sure. You can have the extra motivation. That's great. If that's what you need, essentially.
Exactly, right.
If you need that. But the Chiefs have also gone that route with the Bucks and the Titans of saying, oh, okay, really? So then, did they need the extra motivation for those games? I don't think they did. You know, this is a game that's going to be, whether Jamar Chase is hearing from Justin Reed or Tyler Boyd or T. Higgins, Burrow's still going to have to make the throw. Those guys still have to be open or, you know, make a play whether they're open or not. And, you know, that all still has to happen on the field. Because the Chiefs then got a chance to go up against Jeffrey Simmons. And he backed up his words. So it wasn't they're pissed. And guess what? Jeffrey Simmons, that was dumb because I hope you enjoy getting double teamed and pancaked and they're going to make sure they know where you are on the field. Yeah. Difference is Justin Reed is not to the safety what Jeffrey Simmons is to defensive tackle. So if you're Justin Reed, is there a little bit of kind of speaking out of turn when it's you weren't on the team a year ago? It's one thing to say, here's what I saw from last year. I saw some guys that were out of position. I saw some missed tackles. I'm going to make sure I do what I can that's going to be taken care of. My responsibility, what my job is, it's going to be locked down. I'm going to do what I got to do that I'm going to take care of business that's not going to happen this go around if I have something to say about it. That's where he started with. It was we saw guys out of position, guys missing tackles, which is true because two of the biggest plays in the games were by either laziness or a missed tackle or both. The Jamar Chase catch and long run in the first matchup where it was that guy's going to make the tackle, so I'll just barely give effort. Well, that guy's going to make the tackle, so I'll barely give effort. Well, that guy's going to make the tackle, so I'll barely give effort. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait, it's me. Now I need to start running. You watch that Jamar Chase one again where he catches it, weaves, and then cuts up in the middle of the field. The amount of players that were jogging and then thought, oh, wait, now I got to run. Now I got to get there. We talked about Jeffrey Simmons with the, we're talking about him a lot.
A lot of Simmons.
With the Titans and Mahomes' 20-yard run. That Simmons was sort of dogging it. And then, oh, wait, now I'm in the play. I got to run. That's what happened on that Jamar Chase play. There were a number of guys that didn't think they needed to be a part of it. And then all of a sudden they did. That's laziness and also the inability to get there if you're not going to be busting your butt because you're not fast enough. And the Samaje Perine screen pass that resulted in a 40-plus-yard touchdown in the AFC Championship game Was Charvarius Ward giving the weakest effort I've seen in that entire game? It was a reach. It was kind of a, well, maybe I'll give it a shot.
Not respecting the breaking news at all.
Hey, you're supposed to just break into what I'm saying.
Well, I was going to cut you off. Ken Rosenthal tweets that the Royals are hiring Brian Sweeney as their new pitching coach, sources tell The Athletic. Sweeney, a former major league pitcher with the Padres and Mariners, had been a coach with the Guardians since 2018 and their bullpen coach since 20. Annie Rogers of MLB.com tweets that she's confirmed the same thing. Again, Sweeney's been the Guardians' bullpen coach since 2020. Team announcement expected to come later today, according to Annie Rogers.
Okay. Did Quatrero and Sweeney overlap in Cleveland? That's the position he's been in since 2020, but how long?
He had been a coach with the Guardians since 2018, per Rosenthal.
Okay, so then Quatrero would have overlapped a little
bit. I don't
remember
Quatrero's exact year in and year out, but...
You don't. How would you not remember that?
I know.
Why would you not know that, idiot?
I'll work on it.
Matt Quatrero was in. They didn't. He was only in Cleveland until 2017. He was in Tampa in 2018. So maybe they overlapped somewhere else. I don't know. As soon as you said Cleveland Guardians, my first thought is this regime now going Cleveland and Tampa the way that Dayton went Atlanta? Everything was Atlanta based for Dayton. Is this now everything going to be Guardian and Ray based? I don't know. We'll find out. So there's the pitching coach. Don't know much about him except for he shares a name with Mike Sweeney, a last name with Mike Sweeney. All right, 913-912-4810. There's the Justin Reed conversation. We'll see if it has any impact whatsoever on the game on Sunday. But when we come back, I do want to hear from the New Heights podcast. The fun story of Patrick Mahomes and how he cheated his way to to acing the test on the whiteboard with Andy Reid. Also, him talking about laying on the ground and seeing his kneecap in the back of his leg. A nickname for Justin Watson. That's now out there. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from that. Craig Stout coming up at 11 o'clock. Chiefs press conference is 11:45. Sports at Leisure, 1 o'clock. More Zone next.
Hey everybody, Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind: integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call, 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing, integrity matters.
You're in the Zone with Jason Anderson.
Be honest, I didn't even know who Jason Anderson was.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, and Beards heading up until 2 o'clock. Craig Stout coming up at 11 o'clock. So Royals have a pitching coach that they have hired, Brian Sweeney from the Cleveland Guardians. You've got something to add to that, Josh?
I do.
Okay.
Maybe the most important fact of, frankly, 2022 for the Royals, perhaps. I have a fact for you about new Royals pitching coach Brian Sweeney. He pitched in the majors for a few years, pitched internationally briefly as well. And in 2007, Brian Sweeney pitched for the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters.
Oh, shut up.
Under manager Trey Hillman. They overlapped for 1 year, but the new Royals pitching coach played for Trey Hillman for the Nippon Ham Fighters.
Well, I think he needs to be asked if Trey Hillman ever played any of his Christmas songs for him.
We need every Trey Hillman story. His opening presser just needs to be nothing but what did you learn about Trey Hillman during your one season together?
That 1 year that you shared with him, did Trey Hillman walk around thinking he was a Major League Baseball manager while managing the Ham Fighters? What is a ham fighter?
That's a good question. I really like how you emphasized fighters there.
What is a ham fighter? Is that somebody that fights for ham?
Oh,
because
wow.
I would be a ham fighter. When it comes to Thanksgiving, I am turkey is dry and it's overrated. And we only have it on Thanksgiving because if it was that good, we'd have it more often. And I am team ham on Thanksgiving. So I am a ham fighter.
Yes, that's the correct take.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a ham
However,
fighter.
In this situation, I think it's somebody that fights hams.
Okay.
Well, I think, but here's the thing. If you are eating ham, you are stabbing it with a knife, cutting it, and stabbing it with a fork, and then chewing it up. You're kind of fighting that ham a little bit.
No, well, I'm imagining like fist fight.
Yeah. Well, I am doing that when I'm fighting turkey to try to, you know, chew through it and cut through it and
try to gnaw
on it, drench it in gravy just so it's not just dry and takes up all of the saliva in your mouth. Like, yeah, so I don't know. It's a ham fighter.
We need
turkey fighter.
We need a minor league baseball team to name themselves the Pig Punchers. Oh yeah. Because that's what I feel like it should loosely translate to. I'm pretty sure that's not how it works, but
yeah, that's the exact same. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be part of the show, part of the conversation. All right, so let's hear from Patrick Mahomes. This is a fun story as to, you know, Mahomes has been credited for having one of the best whiteboard interviews that these different coaches have talked about, one being Bruce Arians. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton has talked about it. Bill O'Brien talked about it. Andy Reid has talked about it. So here's Patrick Mahomes in the New Heights. Okay.
Oh, really?
Wow. All right.
Nippon Ham is a conglomerate company that owns them. So it is the Nippon Ham Space Fighters.
Right. But is Nippon Ham a company that sells ham?
Great question.
Food processing, so I am assuming so.
Whoa, hey, really? That's shocking.
That was the first part of that when I said
I don't know.
Okay, I miss food processing.
It could have been a company that just goes crazy all the time.
Anyway.
We're just going ham.
There we go.
So here's Patrick Mahomes.
We need to start nipping on that bud.
Here's Patrick Mahomes, who apparently went ham on the whiteboard interview with Andy Reid. But here's how he was able to ace that test in Kansas City with Andy Reid.
The first day that I met Coach Reid was at the facility. We had like the meetings, like the top 30 visits. And so that was the first time I really met him. At that time, there was like no time limit. So I was in there for like 5 hours. He's just going through plays. And I'm just going to give you all the inside scoop. Matt Nagy, who was our quarterback coach now, was the offensive coordinator then. He really liked me, so he gave me the plays they were going to go over the night before. So Coach Reed's finding out here live on New Heights Podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Snaggy.
Matt.
Snaggy.
He gave you answers to the test. Let's go.
And so, so, of course, I crushed the meeting. I stayed up all night studying those plays. And so,
man, this kid is locked in. We got ourselves there. Yeah.
And so the rest was history, man. I met Coach Reid. He went over the plays. We went and had some lunch.
Dude, that's cool.
He had a couple cheeseburgers. And then we went back, and I went on back on the board, and I seemed like I was a guru in a sense because I knew every single play and every check.
Matt Nagy helping Patrick Mahomes cheat. No wonder Mahomes and Nagy have a great relationship. Mahomes was pumped that Nagy was coming back to Kansas City.
And then Nagy left to go coach the team that drafted Mitch Trubisky. He couldn't have been happy about that because I don't think he did that for Mitch Trubisky's pre-draft interview with the Chiefs. I assume they had him. I don't know. Did they have him in on one?
I don't know that they did. I'm not sure.
It was pretty obvious he was going like top five, so maybe they didn't.
So did anybody in Arizona help out Patrick Mahomes? Did anybody in New Orleans help out Patrick Mahomes in this interview? Because he aced those as well. That's fascinating.
It is so good. I'm guessing someone will ask Andy Reid about this soon now that it's out there. I wonder if this is one of those things where Matt Nagy tells Andy Reid, hey, listen, I'm going to do this. And we're going to just pretend that you didn't know that I was doing this. And we're going to see what the kid does with it. I wonder if I would not be surprised. I'm just want to plant this seed. I would not be surprised if Andy Reid gets asked about that on Friday and he goes something along the lines of, yeah, Matt and I had a plan and funny that got out there. It was a good few hours.
What we found out about Patrick Mahomes is that he works his tail off. That's what we found out about him is that he studies and he's able to retain the information and then use it when asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he was cramming for the test or not, what we found out is that he got the answers, and then he made sure he committed those answers to memory.
Exactly.
Or Matt Nagy's like, man, I don't get it. Why doesn't Andy Reid see what we're seeing in this quarterback?
It's one of those two things.
What do we do? What do we do here, Brett? What do we do? You know what? Let's give him the answers. Let's give him the answers to the test because we know he's good enough to do this. This is the greatest, prospect we've ever seen. How do we do this? Let's give them all the answers to the test. Okay, let's do it. Andy, what'd you think about that? Huh? That was pretty good, right? This is the best I've ever seen. I can't believe how smart this guy is. I'm on board. Guys, let's do it. Let's do it.
Either way, it is such a stroke of hilarious genius that it just made me so happy to hear that this morning. And also, every single person in Kansas City needs to recalibrate how they view Matt Nagy if the story is true as Patrick Mahomes tells it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when we have talked in the past about Matt Nagy, it is that he will be the next offensive coordinator of this team. And depending on how long Andy Reid coaches, Matt Nagy is either, he's going to be a head coach again somewhere. And I don't think that him being the head coach in Kansas City in 5 years or whatever is some crazy unrealistic thing. And if you heard that a couple of, a few months ago even, you might have balked at it. If Matt Nagy really went rogue on this, I am suddenly so team Matt Nagy, it's impossible.
It reminds me a little bit of, I've told this story before, that Lamar Thomas went to the same high school as Lamar Jackson. And all these teams in the SEC were recruiting Lamar Jackson as, shocker, a wide receiver or a safety or a cornerback or athlete.
As a safety man.
Things like that, right? So he was just going to be an athlete is how he was recruited. He only wanted to play quarterback. So Lamar Thomas is talking to Bobby Petrino and saying, hey, we got this quarterback that, you know, I got a relationship with him. Take a look. And he shows Bobby Petrino the highlight reel. And Bobby Petrino goes, yeah, that's an athlete. That's not a quarterback. That's a guy we'll recruit him as an athlete. Well, you're not going to get him if you do that. So Lamar Thomas went back to Lamar's family in high school and said, only cut up throwing the ball. No running, no juking guys, no jumping, none of that. Just throwing the ball. Lamar Thomas and the lead recruiter go back to Bobby Petrino and say, okay, we found another guy. All right, so this is a guy, he's down in Florida as well, but similar to the previous guy, but this guy is a quarterback and shows him the highlights and everything, and he's like, okay, who is it? Same guy. And Bob, let's go get him. Let's get him.
That's
good stuff. We have to have this guy. And if that's the case, if Andy Reid was somehow not convinced that Patrick Mahomes was that dude, and Matt Nagy and Brett, how do we do this? What do we do? Let's give him the answers to the test.
That's incredible.
Let's let him cheat. But it's amazing, all these stud coaches that are like, nah, that guy's an athlete. He'll never play quarterback. And he's an NFL MVP
and
playing quarterback.
The moral of that story being Lamar Jackson was too good of an athlete that it distracted from his still excellent traditional quarterbacking ability.
Yeah. In high school and in college, like even if people don't think he's got excellent quarterbacking ability and throwing the ball in the NFL, that's in the NFL.
Sure,
now imagine
right.
In high school and college and things like that. So, that's it's
unbelievable.
And by the way, Patrick Mahomes wasn't recruited by, you know, everybody. That's why he ended up at Texas Tech, because what did Texas want him as a safety? You know, and they also recruited Johnny Manziel as a safety to Texas. So those stories are great, you know. And we see some of these guys in the NFL now that have made it. Todd Lebo this morning was talking about with Anthony Sherman the number of Chiefs players and number of players in the NFL that are just, you know, weren't highly touted guys that are now studs in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, 3-star guy. Travis Kelce, 3-star guy. Like, there are some guys that were, okay, this is a can't-miss player. But there are also a number of guys that are, you know, in the NFL that are 2- and 3-star guys. Josh Williams was Division II. You know, Jalen Watson was Division I, Power 5, but a 7th rounder. So this guy's going to be in college and be a can't-miss type guy. So 913-912-4810. One of the other things that they talked about when they finally got Patrick Mahomes on as a guest there in New Heights was, let's go to the quarterback sneak and the kneecap story that we all remember, and everybody's heart was, you know, in their throat and was offering their kneecaps to Patrick Mahomes. Take mine. Here is Patrick Mahomes telling the story about what happened and, you know, running quarterback sneaks or not.
I mean, I'm like 95% and one kneecap short of being 100%. Dude, so I mean, I believe in the quarterback sneak as well, but just sometimes you got to watch out for your kneecaps.
You got to tell it from your side of the view.
After watching that quarterback sneak, I think it makes a ton of sense that you don't do quarterback sneaks.
Yeah,
I
no,
think you're
but,
a little bit more valuable. Let's have Noah Gray come in here and do this quarterback sneak.
Well, I will say, I know y'all have talked about it before, but it was a third down in Denver, I believe, maybe a fourth down, and I got the first down, and he fell on my knee, and I remember being on the ground and just looking at it, and my kneecap was in the side of my calf, and I didn't know what to do, so I just froze up. And the worst part was the reaction from every teammate I have. You know, guys usually kind of I had dudes running 50 yards away from me, just running down to the other side of the field. But yeah, that was luckily.
Nobody's offering support.
No,
dude,
no.
Austin, hey man, it's gonna be Austin like, Ryder. Oh my god!
Austin Ryder's just
Austin Ryder's. My center's yelling, "Get off me! Get off me! Get off me!" I'm like, can't move. I can't move. What do you want me to do? My kneecap is in the back of my leg. So, what am I supposed to do?
Can't move.
What am I supposed to do?
Get up. Can't move. Can't move. What do you want me to do? Can't move. I remember. Was it Kelsey that threw his helmet?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. They never talked about that part around the story, I don't think.
Because the reaction, everybody walking away, somebody turned around and threw their helmet on the ground, that it was the, well, there's our season. This is done. This Super Bowl aspirations. We lost in the AFC Championship game in overtime last year. And now the reigning MVP is laying on the ground with his kneecap in the back of his leg. I thought it was Kelsey. And that was when I got really scared, was when you saw the reaction of the teammates, that it was like, okay, this is bad. This is bad. They're mad. They're upset. And they're showing it on the field. But that is so great. Everybody just runs away from him. Runs away from him. It's like, oh, no. He's 95% success rate, because they were talking about what Jalen Hurts is 100%.
Well, and Jason Kelsey is on a war path of, hey, we should quarterback sneak more, like how highly successful a player.
Well, he's got Jalen Hurts. I mean,
across the league, even they've talked about it some, I think, right?
Yeah.
He's a center, so he likes, snap it and follow me kind of thing.
Yeah, Hurts is 100% in quarterback sneaks and picking up a first down. And Patrick Mahomes saying, I'm 95% and a kneecap away. So 95% and a kneecap away from being 100% in quarterback sneaks. Again, it goes back to, will they ever quarterback sneak it again with Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. Why do you need to quarterback sneak with Patrick Mahomes when you've got a Noah Gray or a Travis Kelce or whoever else that might be able to do it? Because it's sort of the same thing. They know it's, the only time you do that is because they have said they're not going to do it with Patrick Mahomes. If it is the Super Bowl and it's 4th and a half yard, then yeah, quarterback sneak it. Get behind Patrick Mahomes, push him, do that thing that we're seeing now with all these different strategies and quarterback sneaks. Do that, pick up the first down and catch him off guard. And then don't do it again. Because I'm good with them not quarterback sneaking with Patrick Mahomes, because they've done it with Noah Gray and Blake Bell and Travis Kelce. Makes sense. I'd rather them do that on 3rd and short and 4th and short than the handoff to Michael Burton up the middle, which is clearly being sniffed out. That thing was also 100%. And now it's like one of its last four. Only because we talked about it being 100%. That's never been stopped. Michael Burton has the exact same number of carries as first downs gained in his career with the Chiefs. It is 100%. No wonder they keep doing it. And then, of course, that's the old broadcaster jinx, right? This guy's never missed a field goal inside 30 yards, and then he does, of course. He's made 17 straight free throws.
Some more minor Royals news here. They've also announced the hire of Jose Alguacil as the infield coach, in addition to Brian Sweeney. He played in the minors for a while, most recently with the Nationals, I believe. First base coach for the Giants for a bit before that. So a couple hires there on Matt Quatrero's staff today.
Also played for the Nippon Ham Fighters.
I don't know. I've not been able to verify that one yet.
Okay. We'll take a timeout. More Zone next.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Got 18 reps in the bench.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll hang out with Craig Stout coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll hear from the Chiefs at about 11:45 or so, and then sports or leisure today. So there's some Twitch comments that are trying to have Beards play the role of Matt Nagy.
There are a couple people trying to get me to be Matt Nagy here. Jokes on them. I don't actually have the questions yet, so I can't give you. I'm sorry.
I have jokes on them as well because I haven't come up with about half the questions already. I've got notes for some of the questions, but I will be working on them at the in commercial breaks.
So. I do. It's not Trey Hillman related as it was for Brian Sweeney, but I do have a Jose Alguacil factoid courtesy of Royals Review on Twitter.
He played for the Turkey Fighters.
He comes over from the Nationals, also worked with the Giants as a coach and minor league manager, was once hit in the face by a Hunter Dozier line drive that broke his nose, so that could be awkward. Again, via Royals Review on Twitter.
Okay. Let's see if Hunter Dozier ever plays infield again.
Infield
coach, right?
Yes.
So, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't need Hunter Dozier near my infield.
Two birds, one stone here.
Here's the thing, Skip, Matt, Coach Quatrero, manager. I don't need Dozier on the dirt anytime soon, all right? Get his ass out there in the grass playing with the Dandelions. Or trade his ass. I don't care. One of the two. Trade him or put him in the outfield. Done with that guy.
It's good all note. Part of the ploy.
It's a good note.
To adjust the lineup by grudges and accidental acts of violence.
Playing the long game.
That's exactly right. By the way, Lukaku for Belgium has missed three pretty much
really good opportunities. Is that
in the World Cup? Kind of easier opportunities and chances.
As good as it gets in the World Cup for the most part.
He has missed three prime chances to put a goal and to move Belgium on. Belgium right now is tied with Croatia. If this stays a tie, Belgium does not advance. They need to beat Croatia. And
He got another shot at it!
Yeah, but that one was...
That was a lot more difficult.
That was tougher.
My goodness. Belgium has been in the box the last 5 minutes, it feels like. Maybe longer.
He had a strike that hit off the post. He had a header that hit off the crossbar. And he had one that he could have headed it in. Instead, he tried to, control it with his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then drop it in front of him and then score the goal. But it was too hard of a touch, and it bounced away from him, and Croatia cleared. He's had three opportunities that, if he heads that one, it's in. Instead, he tried to go the chest and control it, and didn't work out. So there you go. There's your update. There's your soccer update. Also, Morocco is up 2-1 on Croatia, or on Canada.
On Canada, yeah.
Morocco would move on, along with Croatia in Group F. So it would be Morocco and Croatia, unless Belgium wins.
I mean, at least they've still got the waffles, but that's about it at this point, man. This is the last 5 minutes of watching Belgium almost advance. The shots of the fans in the stands, their face painted, looking like like their life is in the balance.
Honestly, it's been almost the whole game that Belgium has been pretty much in Croatia territory, just peppering the goalkeeper with shots or the actual goal itself. With shots, and it is not falling. The results yesterday were fascinating because it came down to the last few minutes of Mexico and Poland and Argentina and trying to advance and goal differential and sportsmanship with yellow cards that Mexico was going to be eliminated on for Poland. While it was a fun end, it didn't exactly work out great for the United States because. If the United States beats the Netherlands on Saturday, they're probably going to get Argentina in the round of eight.
Oh, that'll be easy.
Well, look, guys, I mean, here's my honest perspective on this.
Yeah, please.
If we start looking ahead for the U.S. men's national team, we are going to miss what's happening right in front of us. If they get through Netherlands... They could play Alabama in the next round, and I'd be feeling okay about it, because let's just take what we can get.
Says the guy that put the money on the U.S. to win.
I did that before the Iran game.
Yes.
Great odds on DraftKings.
Belgium and Croatia,
I'm probably going to hedge pretty soon, by the way. Oh!
Belgium has been eliminated. Croatia has moved on. And if Morocco holds on to the 2-1 lead they have with only a minute to play, they will win the group stage.
Come on! They just cut to the stands, and it's cruel because you could tell he's going through it. But it was a bald fellow with a beard, his face painted black, yellow, and red in the Belgium colors. But he's also wearing a little red, like, sort of skull cap with horns on it. So he looks like a little demon of some sort doing the surrender cobra. I mean, it's just...
It's just
sports, man.
It's sports. The tough part of sports is to see Lukaku on his knees, hands in his face, and crying and distraught that he had three opportunities to put one in the back of the net and Belgium advances and he was 0-3.
No, that I have a much easier time sort of chuckling at the light misfortune of fans than I do the actual players. Because that's his life for the next 4 years. I don't know how old he is, but could be the rest of his
4 years, 8 years, 12 years.
The rest of his life will, at least in Belgium, be partially marred by the guy who had opportunities and couldn't score on him.
All he needed was one. He was 0-3 in prime opportunities.
That's
Morocco
gutting.
And Croatia move on. Canada and Belgium. I don't know what the odds are.
Belgium had to be favored to get through that, right?
Right. I don't know what the odds were before, but I would guess Belgium was the favorite in that to move on. Was that one of them where it was
Croatia was the favorite.
Okay.
And then Morocco and Belgium had similar odds.
Oh, okay.
I can't read a chart.
Like I said, Croatia probably was the favorite. I don't know.
Well, these numbers I'm looking at here don't make any sense, so find out what the Group F rankings were next.
In 2 hours.